John Emery, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. struck more than 85 targets in 7 locations in Syria and Iraq a week after 3 American service members were killed in a drone strike in Jordan. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the attacks were intended to limit what groups backed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard can do.
All these facilities were connected to and being used by the IRGC and their proxy groups to conduct attacks on U.S. personnel in the region.
Earlier Friday, President Biden attended the dignified transfer of the 3 U.S. service members. He and First Lady Jill Biden also met with their families. An 11-day teacher strike in Newton, Massachusetts is over. A new deal is in place. Students will be back in class on Monday. And no evacuation orders yet, but there are warnings in Southern California. Forecasters say there could be rain not seen in nearly 30 years in the region beginning tomorrow. This is ABC News. 1 year after the Norfolk Southern train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, current and former residents are reflecting on how their lives were upended.
A year later, and residents of East Palestine, Ohio, current and former, are remembering the fear and uncertainty after the toxic Norfolk Southern train derailment. Edward Byard lived about a half a mile from the derailment site.
This was our home. We had planned to probably be here our whole lives.
But that changed with the derailment.
There was too much controversy. Things are going to be okay. Things will never be right. You know, what do you believe?
Byard and his wife deciding to move to nearby Salem. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Hollywood's reacting to news that Carl Weathers died at age 76. His manager said he died peacefully in his sleep. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who worked in the movie Predator with Weathers, said Carl Weathers will always be a legend. He was probably best known for his role in the Rocky movies. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number 1 dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A new study finds a troubling link between racism online and higher rates of stress and suicide among Black youth. Terry D. reports.
Online racism includes jokes and misinformation, but also censorship or the removal of content posted by Black users. Psychologist Dr. Raquel Martin explains social media is often a representation of what is happening in everyday life.
Having social media provides you with an opportunity to see how people that look like you are being treated in their own city and state and country, and acknowledging the fact that that is not often good.
The study reveals Black teens with repeated exposure to racist posts internalize the content as threats, resulting in trauma-like symptoms and emotional distress. The Social Media Victims Law Center asserts that online anonymity and beliefs in digital freedom of speech are seen as justifications by those who post white supremacy ideology. Another study finds young people experience an average of 5 posts that include racial discrimination per day. Teens may see the content as teasing, not racial harassment, allowing cyberbullying to thrive. Martin says the apps commonly used by teens could do more to rein in the negative content.
I am not naive enough to think that individuals in the social media realm aren't aware of this. They're very much aware of it, but I also don't think they very much care. And a lot of the times the things they care about are losing money.
Recommendations to counter harmful online content include community faith-based and mentoring programs, and to address the stigma in the Black community of seeking therapy and connect teens to mental health resources geared toward youth. This is Terry D. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey, everybody, this is Aaron from The Todd Albaugh Show, just letting you know that Todd will be back on Monday with a brand new show. So tune in then from noon to 2.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny with highs in the low 40s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Mostly sunny with a high near 47 on your Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 49. And into the low 50s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain by Wednesday night.
Currently 29 degrees.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
It is us, Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk Friday. It's Friday again, and producer Nate's in the studio in Madison. Johnny's out there in the radio land. And everybody else, we know we said 5 days a week. It was a little bumpy this week on that first 5 days of the week. But you know what? We're here. We're back. It's Friday night. We're looking forward to, you know, people who showed up and said, I thought they said they were going to be on 5 nights a week, and this sounds like the show from the other night or something. Yes.
Well, I mean, you got to hear us 5 days a week, but there was right. And there were some hiccups in terms of we're just working out the kinks. And one of the great things about the show is, you know, tonight we got Nate Dogg on the boards and producing. And, you know, most nights we have, rock star Anya. And you know, we're flexible as a team. And so some things came up that prevented Anya from being able to join the show. And you know what? We roll with it. We got a lot of good content. So you got some replay. Yeah. But here we are. We're back in the saddle, live, excited for our second Friday. Last Friday sort of was our official kick into the 5 day a week. So Friday number two, Tim, it's been a week. You know, it's been a little bit of like we haven't been on live all week, but you've been listening to us if you tuned in. And so.
Well, here's the deal, though, right? We've been ready, though, every night. We've been ready to go. Yeah. In fact, you know, we're so ready, you know, but tell you what, though, too, you know, little preview. In fact, next week. Oh, man. Network for Public Education. Our guest, Carol Burris, is going to be back. She was supposed to be with us last week. Educators Amplified on Wednesday, every Wednesday. Looking forward to Joanna and Hallie. We will also be touching back in with the show on the teacher shortage, special education teacher shortage, Kimber Wilkinson. And all the other things that are out there, we're going to bring it to you. And again, though, nothing is more important than your calls, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You're like, where you guys been? Well, give us a call and ask us. We can talk to you. We'll let you know what's happening. A lot going on, though, out in the world. Busted Pencils, you know, we're always thinking, what's going on in the public schools? Couple stories out there. Johnny, want to start, though, you know, right away. It's February 2nd. Okay, second day of February. Second month of the year, and it's February. You know, in any other February until this year, it's always just been for me. You know, I said this is Black History Month, and as a social studies teacher that I was, that you were. I mean, you know, guess what? Hey, we should be doing African-American Black history all the time. But the fact was, is that, you know, we had February, it was there, and it said, you know, especially though, we're going to make sure that there is time, there is the curriculum. We know the content's there because guess what? African-American history is 12 months of the year. here we are now, though, Johnny, 2024, and I'm looking at some posts with some teachers with, you know, and again, maybe some people that are on the other side of this who are going, I don't think we should be teaching Black history in February anymore, even to the point where some teachers have questioned and said, if I teach Black history during February, am I contributing to racism? And I'm like, wait a minute. How did the world get upside down in a year that somebody is asking the question, if I teach Black history in February, am I promoting racism?
Well, Tim, Johnny. Here's a good thing, Tim. I applaud that question, whoever asks it, because one, I'm glad they're asking it, because that's a lot of courage and a lot of honesty to be there. And I'm not shocked by that, because we've talked about it before. Things are so blurred all the time right now. And information is so wonky, really far on the left, really far on the right, that common ground, trustworthy information is difficult to come by. And so this question doesn't shock me, because a teacher out there wanting to do good, really concerned and dialed into making sure that, you know, their teaching aligned with the best practices of what we ought to be teaching all children in this country. And so, you know, it's not shocking to me that someone might hear or find information that says, if you're doing this, you're contributing to racism. And that's a blurry line. It's absolutely not true, unless they're doing it really badly and saying, like, here's this really terrible thing we're going to have to do this month and whatnot. But most teachers that I work with are thoughtful, and they want to do well by this. And why it's why Black History Month is so important is because, like, you came out hot with this, Tim, like a lot of history educators or social studies educators or just teachers in general, they'll agree, like, hey, Black history is part of American history. No questions or qualms about it. It should be represented and discussed in a thoughtful, in a way that is aimed at ending racism, not perpetuating it. So, you know, that's something I think is out there as an understanding. But also, there is space for asking that question right now, because it has come up. If you teach X, Y, and Z, you are creating or causing more problem than there is. And that couldn't be further from the truth when talking about responsibly teaching about Black history, celebrating Black History Month, you know, making sure this is not only something that's throughout your entire curriculum, but, you know, this month extra special. Let's look at this is really important stuff to understanding how we learn to understand our history so that we can better be in community together.
But that's the part, though. It's just like, you know, it was special when you say, you know, how it got, though. And I'm partially asking that kind of rhetorically to get, you know, out there. Hey, if you want to call 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teachers, especially if you're out there, it's Black History Month. Are you teaching? Or, you know what? Call us. Are you asking that question? Should I not be doing that? Got one caller on the line. We know he's probably going to give us a little bit of a hard time for having a couple nights off. L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom is on the line. L.A. Tom, what's happening, my friend?
What's going on, guys? Missed you last night. Almost called back in on a show that I already called in on.
hey, we love anyway, it, though, Tom. We love it.
Right? The topic must have really speared me again. First off, we the people, ultimately, all of us, are the government, and we must never forget that. Second is that, you know, I just don't understand. How does it hurt anyone to be considerate of other people's lives? You know, what does it hurt someone to be a nice individual and to include people? You know, part of that whole thing with, I finally figured it out, the being woke thing on their end, which is, you know, being woke means wake up to me.
The
billionaire class does not want us to be woke, so maybe that's why they're using it in that way. But it seems to me that means not including people. Like, you have to disclude someone to make yourself feel better. And what I don't get is, you know, here I'm a kid that grew up in Wisconsin, town of 2000, gay kid, played football for 12 years. You know, kind of did the opposites of the stereotypes, but at the same time, living with the fear every day from until I got to college at St. Norbert in Green Bay. I lived in fear, well, even after college, I guess, after or my senior year in college when I played football. But it was living in fear that people were going to find this out about you, one. And number two, it was the fear kind of holding back the secret about yourself because you wanted to be honest with those people that were closest to you. And I don't understand why it is that we can't study, why it is that we just can't. You know, I'll give you an example. If somebody said, and anyone in the audience, please call up on this one, but if someone said, you know, what pronouns do you go by to somebody, right? Why does that hurt anybody? That doesn't hurt anybody. Why is it that everyone is so worried about their own, you know, oh, man, this whole pronoun thing, blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking to myself, Tom, this is a great thing because when you have non-gender names like Jordan and things like that, maybe there'll be more women getting hired for jobs because of the fact that people won't be worried about the gender so much.
LA Tom, you sound woke, man.
I don't know what
man,
you guys think
all...
about that.
I don't know. I'm just saying, LA, you sound... No, you know what, Tom? I mean, lots of great points there. I think the... As you say, is it just a matter of just plain old respect? But, you know, what Johnny and I hear, though, I know where you're coming from, Tom, but it's concerning today, though, to see that what you know, should we, can we? And the fact is, though, is that we've watched, particularly over this past year, this idea of identifying and saying something like that is now... You know, pointing out potentially, you know, so if we're going to teach Black history, that must mean that we're anti-white. And,
well, why don't
you know,
they,
it's just
why
like.
Why don't they teach Black, Tim, why don't they teach Black history from where it started in Africa, where the Black people were actually kings and queens, and they were actually middle-class type people, and they were the ones that got basically sold into slavery to become property of the people in America. I mean,
that's what we're talking about, though, Tom. I mean, like, yeah, I mean,
empowered.
And in fact, we made this is what it's interesting, you know, if you've been doing this, like Johnny and I were talking about this before the show, 40 years now. The fact, though, is that you'd think that after 40 years of going through this, and remember, Black History was Black History Week when I was in school, but now it's Black History Month. And now 40 years later, the fact is that we're having a conversation about, geez, I don't know if we should do this anymore because I might be considered a racist or I might be instilling racism. It's out there, busted pencils. When we get back, though, we got a lot more to talk about, a little bit more on the Black History Month, a lot That's of extra sweet. Things going on. Numbers 844-967-2789. Johnny, I said we're going to come back in the break. I want to do a little bit more on this. In fact, give us the call with the Black History. But, you know, Tom brings up some great points. We love L.A. Tom. I don't know, Johnny. What are we going to do? Two social studies teachers. We're going to bring this, though. We want to talk more about it. Black History Month. When we get back, busted pencils, fully leaded, right after the break.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago.
It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It kills me not to know this, but I've all but just forgotten what the color of her eyes were and her scars or how she got them. Has the telling
scars. We all got them. Busted pencils. Yeah. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Blue collar scholars. That's what we're doing here. Oh, here we are. L.A. Tom, thanks for the call. Black History Month, though, February 2nd. Are you a racist if you teach Black History Month? Johnny, you brought up, though, I mean, to you know, go back to the archives and you think about this, you know, Black Lives Matter at School. One of the great episodes with Jesse Hagopian and Denisha Jones. You know, and we were on celebrating that they had put forth a publication on totally about teaching about Black lives.
Yeah, some great resources. And we'll plug them this show for folks listening who want to get, you know, more information about this. But, you know, one of the really exciting things about what Jesse and Denisha were on the show when we had them as guests talking about was this was, you know, why they were explaining why this was such an important moment and movement for mm-hmm. young people with all kinds of different identities and backgrounds. And so, you know, some like dispelling the myths that Black Lives Matter is perpetuating some kind of, you know, mythical, we'll get into it, but some kind of idea of reverse racism, which, right. you know, side note, doesn't exist. But the idea here that, you know, celebrating or centering, you know, Blackness and our learning for a month or for a week or in lessons that it could be some way harmful, you know, dispelling that myth. And the great thing about, you know, the book they came on and shared, and I have it, you know, I've shared it with a number of teachers. I get the honor of being able to teach it in my courses working with social studies teachers, but it's, you know, it shares youth perspectives on the largest social uprising of all of our lifetime, which is often misrepresented in media and in, you know, political discussions, and that's Black Lives Matter. So I think it's really important to kind of have these conversations. And man, LA Tom, thanks for calling in, because Tom reminds us that so often schools are places where we're making it so that children, and I'm extending children, he reminded us, it brought us all the way up through our college years, right? Mm-hmm. As we're developing into being adults in our community, so much of what's okay for us to learn and talk about or, you know, is pushed down and not included. And so, you know, whether it's us talking about different gender identities, different, you know, sexualities, or different races, all these different things, it's about our capacity to embrace and celebrate difference and learn, right? And so that's kind of a reminder as we're talking about like Black History Month, but also about teaching that Black lives matter and why that movement is inclusive and in every way not contributing to perpetuating racism. And we got a caller, so we're going to go to our caller in a second here. But the other thing I wanted to touch on, Tim, and we'll loop back around to it, I'm sure, is that, you know, just teaching about Black History Month, this mm-hmm. is going to be a little bit of a shocker and a little change off course here. Just teaching about Black History Month or celebrating Black History Month doesn't make you not racist.
Oh, dude.
So when you said, like, when people are saying, like, if I teach this, then I'm racist, or like the other thing is, like, if you do teach about it or do celebrate or be part of it, great, because that's an important step, but it's a tiny step and a larger commitment to addressing and undoing racism. So, like, again, I wanted to put that caveat out there. It's like, not doing it, you know, doesn't prevent you from being racist or not racist, but like the two things can coexist. Mm. to be teaching about Black History Month and perpetuating racism, but it's not because you're teaching about Black History Month, if that makes sense.
Man, you complicated that way too much. Let's get Jerry. Jerry from Peoria. Jerry, what's happening, Jerry?
Hello?
Jerry, we hear you. There you are. Jerry, what's up?
Oh, last week you had a comical moment concerning the $83.3 million, and you offered an example. You exemplified it with Jimmy Snuka. I just wanted to offer you my rendition.
All right, Let's hear it, Jerry.
All right. All right, the jury is in the courtroom, and the players are on the court. The guard, Stormy, intercepts a pass, bounces it between her legs, and passes it to the center, who leaps from the free throw line and slam dunks the orange ball, which, with such force that as it exits the bottom of the net, it has fire on it. Linda Graham looks at Chuck Ashley and says, "Great balls of fire."
All right,
Jerry. Coming in hot.
Where?
Coming in hot.
I see producer Nate looking like, man, what's Jerry? Well, you know, Friday, hey, we appreciate the phone call, Jerry. Thanks for bringing that.
Thanks for listening.
Us.
Thanks for bringing thanks for that fire.
Bringing that for us. Bringing the fire, you know, great balls of fire. Johnny, Look, though, back to what you just what you fire. Said, though, the you complicating this to the potential of saying and teaching doesn't necessarily. Well, maybe it's just like you say more about how you complicated that because I may actively quote teach Black History Month, but it may not mean anything about whether I'm fully committed to ending racism.
Absolutely. I'll complicate it by trying to be as simple as possible, Tim. And it's like, let's give a working definition of racism, right? It's prejudice and power. Right. So maybe I could say, like, if I'm going to only focus on one particular group of people's history, I could be showing prejudice against other groups. Fact. Mm-hmm. That's space. But it's not racism because it doesn't hold necessarily power with it. What I mean by that is political power and privilege that Tim, you and I would have as two white social studies teachers. You know, even though we're working class and we've got some grit to our background and, you know, our understanding of these struggles is maybe a little bit closer than more privileged white guys, but we're still white guys, right? And so when we enact prejudice against groups that don't experience the same political power of as we do, it's racism, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to remember the definition of racism is prejudice and power. So this is why reverse racism is not a thing. It's prejudice. It could be sort of like discriminatory or prejudice. And I'm not saying it's a great practice to be involved in, but it's just simply not racism. So that's the one thing I want to just lay out there, like simple working definition for what is racism. You know, it's prejudice and power. And that's the important piece we often forget about when we're thrown around. Well, if I teach this, then it's racist against white folks. Hold up.
Hold up.
For a second.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but it's prejudice, not racism. And so, like, we can get into the weeds about that. But what I was saying, Tim, is, you know, if I'm maybe just a teacher getting into this and I maybe say, hey, it's Black History Month. Cool. We're going to, you know, read this book about Harriet Tubman in class and we're going to have, you know, a Black History poster in my classroom. I'm not hating on that. That's a great first step. That alone isn't enough to say, like, hey, I'm not racist, because you could very well still be enacting racism and throwing up a poster in your class. So what I'm saying is, like, we need to engage in conversations that help us all do more to undo racism, that move beyond simply just celebrating or acknowledging Black History Month. That said, it's also really important to celebrate and center Black History Month. So the two kind of can coexist. And I know I didn't make it any more simple.
No, you did it. You did it, Johnny. But that's what we do here every night of the week. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. struck more than 85 targets in seven locations in Syria and Iraq a week after three American service members were killed in a drone strike in Jordan. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the attacks were intended to limit what groups backed by Iran's Revolutionary Guard can do.
All these facilities were connected to and being used by the IRGC and their proxy groups to conduct attacks on U.S. personnel in the region.
Earlier Friday, President Biden attended the dignified transfer of the three U.S. service members. He and First Lady Jill Biden also met with their families. An 11-day teacher strike in Newton, Massachusetts is over. A new deal is in place. Students will be back in class on Monday. And no evacuation orders yet, but there are warnings in Southern California. Forecasters say there could be rain not seen in nearly 30 years in the region beginning tomorrow. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
The Badgers hope to rebound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In men's college basketball, the number 6th ranked Wisconsin Badgers lost Thursday night to Nebraska 80-72 in overtime. Matt LePay with the call on the Badgers radio network.
Hepburn with 7 seconds left. Chucky, a deep three. It's off the rim, no good. Gary the rebound, and Nebraska wins it in overtime by 8. And another court storm here in Lincoln as the 6th ranked team in the country goes down.
Now, Wisconsin has a chance to hold on to that spot in the top 10 when they host the number 2 ranked Purdue Boilermakers Sunday at noon. Head coach Greg Gard asked, will his team need to cut down on the turnovers against Purdue?
Yeah, that combined with bad shot selection and no play in the paint. You know, we don't get to the free throw line, and we are going to get fouled when you're consistently shooting jump shots.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, becoming mostly sunny with highs in the low 40s. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Mostly sunny with a high near 47 on your Sunday. For Monday, mostly sunny, a high near 49. And into the low 50s for Tuesday and Wednesday. Chance of rain by Wednesday night.
Right now, it's 28.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. With you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Amory's radio station.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci's signature sound right there. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Jerry, Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Man, you took me back to the day. We appreciate your call, Jerry. Complicated Black History Month, but Johnny, you reminded me during the break, just to the listeners, look, it's not over. It's February, all February. We're going to be talking about this. We actually do, and we have an invitation out to our guests who put out that book, Teaching for Black Lives, Denisha Jones and Jesse Hagopi, and hopefully we'll get them back on the show here in the month of February to kind of revisit this, talk a little bit more. You know, complicate it and simplify it all at the same time because
right. And
you
know, we've got some great resources, right? I mean, the Zen Education Project and folks listening up in Madison are and Milwaukee roots, right? Are really connected to the Rethinking Schools group, who put out some amazing stuff on, you know, teaching for Black Lives and Black Lives Matter at school. So we'll come back to it because we'll it's February all month long, and it's important all year long here for or all year long for us here at Busted Pencils. So we're not ditching it, but you said there was some other stuff you wanted to.
There's another stuff, man. I said, you know, headline out of California, and this is CNN. California agrees to a $2 billion. That's B, as Dr. Evil said, $1 billion settlement over COVID pandemic learning loss for struggling students. And my first reaction, Johnny, was a headline reaction was. No, we did not pay out $2 billion for test scores. And you called me on, you're like, Tim, you got to read deeper. You got to read more deeply. You got to look. Go ahead. Help the listener how you help me.
Well, I know we're both on the same page with this in terms of, like, let's be really careful about how we discuss learning loss and how we discuss where children are at right now coming out of COVID, kind of agreeing across the board. Like, there's some real change and there's a lot that's happened. And in ways we've talked about it on the show, and it will continue to be a discussion because it's in almost every funding, you know, article out there about schools right now is talking about how do we make up for learning loss. Mm-hmm. And I want to put a pin in that term learning loss and hold it to the side for a minute, because I think it does trigger two things. Like, you see that, and it's often used this way. What kind of new curriculum do we need to buy, and how do we need to get these kids learning more because they're behind in math and reading, which isn't totally the truth, right? That kids are behind in math and reading, right? And that, or that they can't make that up in other ways that are less expensive. And what I'm excited about, though, in the context of this headline that you shared with me about California, is that there is money being allocated to addressing, and again, I want to put a pin in it. I hate that it's called learning loss, but to addressing the need that children and teachers and schools have post-COVID, because it is without a doubt the hardest time that I've experienced in my career, and talking to veteran teachers that are my go-to that have 20 years on top of my 20 years, right? Who have said, I'm with you, Johnny, this is different. And there are some real needs that we don't have resources to address. Those are mental health needs. Those are health, like physical health needs. Those are all kinds of ways that COVID illuminated and exacerbated in our communities. It got harder and harder to be a kid in a school post-COVID, and it's coming out in a lot of behaviors and a lot of ways. And you mentioned it. You said, yeah, that's even true at the collegiate level. Like in higher ed, we're noticing, you know, juniors and seniors are really different than past generations of juniors and seniors. And I'm in elementary ed classrooms with my teachers all the time and said, these are my best teachers in the country right now who are mentoring these new teachers. And they're telling me, Johnny, this is the hardest classroom I've had the last few years. And so I get excited because you know, commitment without currency is counterfeit. So if you're saying things are different, if you're a school leader or you're funding education out there and you're saying, oh yeah, things are different, we have a lot of needs,
and you're not throwing money behind that, then TTFO. We don't really have patience for that. But if you're saying things are different, and here come the reinforcements, we've got billions of dollars to help schools, teachers, and community leaders figure out how to better support children learning. I'm happy about that. So I think it's realistic to say we need an allocation of resources to help make schools better places post-COVID.
Because that, I mean, the reality, what we're saying, let's agree here, the word loss, loss did happen. All kinds of loss happened over COVID. And maybe even some quote learning loss. We've talked about this though in the past. How much was learned though too during COVID and people dealing with the trauma and the loss? You know, we talk about that, but the loss there, and I think what you're saying is we see that, you know, whether it's the seniors that I see in college right now who are about to become teachers who, you know, they're just, yeah, they're not like the seniors that I remember 5 years ago. I even think of, you know, my daughter, right? My daughter lost her high school, 11th and 12th grade, wiped out by COVID. Her peers now in college, they're different. My son lost half of his college years, lost, right? So fourth graders lost second and third grade, first or second grade, kindergarten, all that. There's a lot of loss. And with that, though, what you're saying, Johnny, things are different. So how do we allocate the money? And so, you know what, maybe here when we say California agrees to a $2 billion settlement over COVID pandemic loss for struggling students, it wouldn't make me kind of cringe, because it's that word learning loss that actually really minimizes the reality of the loss that everybody experienced during COVID, particularly kids. Kids lost a lot. And that is one of the things you're going to hear on Busted Pencils. There is nobody here arguing that everybody's fine. In fact, I think we would say this too, is, you know, Johnny, before the show we were preparing, I'm like, the big message here, kids are not fine, you know, and it reminds me too, you know, and I can't wait till Wednesday, our guests from the Educators Amplified, Joanne and Hallie, always talking about saying it's like, all of the overemphasis stress on academic achievement takes us away from looking at the real needs of students, the social needs, the emotional needs, the realities of dealing with just being a human being and the things that affect, you know, and they'll say affect our nervous system, you know, and you're sitting there going, and so California, if you're stepping up to allocate the resources to deal with the issues of trauma and loss, we support you. I'm concerned, though. I get really concerned about minimizing what happened in COVID into simply math and reading scores. That's where I was at, Johnny.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tim. I just, you know, I like to shine a different light sometimes on, like put a lens over a lens. And I think you're both things are important to think about. And especially, you know, I have big concerns and I have, you know, larger hunches that it's, you know, it's money allocated for buying stuff that we really don't need in schools. Okay. And so this is kind of the age old pitfall of, you know, education solutions that are anything but solutions. They're just more stuff to put in the closet later.
And you know what I hate about this, I got to interrupt you though, just for a second, because what you just said is that, and then the $2 billion will be turned around as going, see, all we do is throw money at schools and it doesn't. And it's like, partially I'm kind of going, yeah, and don't throw money like that, because if it just goes to quote learning loss and or really curriculum to improve reading and math scores, that actually doesn't really help, because it does make the case that we're just throwing money. And I would say throwing money at reading and math scores, that is a waste of money. Investing. Well, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I mean, but back up, because learning, reading and math is really important.
I know.
So the myth is that it's a whole push in the language used to get for our listeners out there, is to forget, for all of us to react to, like, whoa, man, we're not doing a good job in reading and math. Actually, the
the research has shown we're doing a dang good job at it. Yeah. Lots of kids are learning. They're learning a ton. We just keep raising the bar for what we measure as grade level or what they need to be learning. So learning loss and COVID, this whole conversation has put into perspective, like, what are the really important things? And let's not for a minute, and you're not arguing this, Tim, but let's not say, let's defund math and reading. Like, that's not the point. The point is also to say is, like, there's a lot of stuff that isn't necessarily related to the materials necessary to be a good learner in math and reading that we need support in schools. And that's really some more help, like more mental and physical health support for students, for families. We need policy in our communities that helps support people who have experienced poverty. I mean, these are real factors that are impacting the learning environment that the $2.5 billion allocated to it, if it doesn't go to those kinds of supports, isn't going to change anything.
No, and that's what I was really, you know, you're sitting there, you make the point for me is that, reading and math. But if you are concerned, really, really are concerned about reading and math scores, investing $2 billion into CAN curriculum tests, teacher professional development to get them in line. No, if you really, really, really are concerned about achievement and test scores, invest in the things that Johnny and I said: healthcare, emotional care, poverty reduction. Every time there's an investment in those areas, academic achievement goes through the roof. So this, to me, Johnny, is always this part here is going, look, I'm not making an argument for underachieving. What I'm saying, though, is that if those are the things you really, really do care about, well, then you want to make an investment in social health, mental health, poverty reduction, making sure kids have nutrition. That will go miles and miles and miles much further in resources allocated to bringing up test scores than investing $2 billion into testing company X and curriculum company B and consultant A that is going to go in and fix your teachers, fix your kids to adjust their scores. That's the point I'm trying to make. And so whenever I see learning loss, man, the first thing in the headline is, it's like, no, not again, not again. But Johnny, I mean, you know, you helped me out, and that's why I love that you're always here busting pencils with us every night of the week: Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Bust them, man. And if you don't, California's got $2.5 billion allocated to getting you some pencils. Let's go,
man. That's a lot. How many pencils would that be? That's a lot of pencils to bust. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789, Friday night edition of Busted Pencils. The Blue Collar Scholars, Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators who are always talking education, starting off the show, February, Black History Month, and we are going to bring that all month, all kinds of ways. Learning loss, hey, we're going to dissect it. We're going to make sense of it. We're going to talk about the reality of there's a lot of loss that's been happening since COVID. Let's address those issues. Let's talk deeply. Let's provide the resources for the kids, for the teachers, because things are different. Things are tougher out there right now. And if we do care, and I said, you know what, even if you are truly only concerned about reading and math scores, trust us. This is where the educated educators who are talking education can help you out a little bit. Invest those resources not in curriculum, not in professional development, not in tests. Invest that in the social, emotional, physical, nutritional health of children, communities, and families. Reduce poverty. Busted Pencils. Back after the break. Rise above, we're gonna rise above.
We're gonna rise above. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Walter's Shoreview Supper Club has everything you need to enjoy a nice night out with family and friends. Come enjoy our daily specials like Thursday ribs made with our secret barbecue sauce or our Saturday prime rib, which includes a free dessert. With a variety of dinner entrees, an authentic soup and salad bar, and Sunday brunch, there's something for everyone. Learn more at shoreviewsupperclub.weebly.com or call us at 715-268-8774. That's 715-268-8774. Walter Shoreview Supper Club. Come and enjoy today.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You can't feel the heat until you hold your hand over the flame.
That's what everybody says when they're listening to Busted Pencils. It's like putting their hand over the flame. Lots of heat. Fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, Johnny and Tim, the blue collar scholars, 5 days a week from now on, you get to bust pencils. California, in excess of $2 billion for pencils. Well, hopefully it's for more than pencils. That's a lot of pencils to go out and do some busting with. Black History Month, February. But Johnny, you know, getting ready, though, next week, fully 5 days a week. Great guests coming up that we're going to be, you know, we got the Network for Public Education, the executive director, Carol Burris, is going to join us. He said, absolutely, Educators Amplified, Joanna and Hallie from the teachers from the Milwaukee area talking about what it is to truly be in the real sense. And what they said, they want to bring hope. And we say, like, yeah, absolutely bring hope. Special education teacher shortage, we're definitely going to get into that. The other part, though, John, I was thinking, you know, we're here 5 days a week. It's bustedpencils@civicmedia.us. Send us what you want to know about. We want to know what are the topics. We're talking about public education democracy. What do you want to know, the listener? What do you want us to talk about? What do you want us to bring every night of the week? We want to hear from you. bustedpencils@civicmedia.us. Send us some emails. Let us know what you're doing. Jump on the show right now. Jump on the live Facebook stream. Type in, you know, on the feed. Jump on the Twitter. Give us a call at 844-967-2789. And look at that. Well, you know, okay, we're going to allow this caller to get back on again, second time of the night. LA Tom, we're gonna hold him to about 30 seconds. So LA Tom, you're back. You get special privilege on Friday night.
There we go. Hey, I think everyone should check out Jane Elliott on YouTube to really understand racism and white privilege.
Okay.
Brown eyed, blue eyed study that was done years ago and is also done with authoritarian ism. I'm sure you guys know all about her, but Jane Elliott, you know, she's the one that did the study on brown-eyed and blue-eyed kids when Martin Luther King Jr. was killed.
Yeah,
I'm sure you guys know her, right?
Classic piece from I'm pretty sure NPR at the time. I know, yeah, teacher education classes looking at that, the idea of, you know, how can you teach racism at the time? Yeah, definitely, you know, check that out. Great resource. And, you know, if you're coming to this and going, I don't really understand racism, aren't we post-racism right now? Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. Post. I don't know if we're post anything. I think we're always in it, is potentially like that. But again, back to Johnny, you know, topics that are out there, democracy, public education, big deal too here, John. Put this forward, 2024 November, huge election this year coming up. The future of public education is at stake. I heard Dr. Diane Ravitch yesterday on a web call or a webinar talking and pointing out, saying that one of the biggest issues, if you care, you better care about public schools and make public schools a huge issue in this election. Because as she points out, the attack on public schools, and Johnny, we've documented it now. We said over 40 years, we've brought it there. But Diane really lays it out there and says this year is so important. If you're a supporter of public education, if you're a supporter of democracy, then you need to make your voices heard. You got to get out there. You got to vote. And also contribute to the conversation. That's why we're going to be here every night of the week, Monday through Friday, all through the election and after the election. We're going to make sure that public education is the issue in the election, because it just is, John. And people are like, oh, you're just a bunch of weird teachers. Look, you can't. Education is the base. It is the most important topic. Johnny, am I giving education too much credit?
But Tim, we got a whole show around this. Our whole careers have been based around, our belief in the importance of education. I wish it was the largest and most important topic of this election. It won't be. There'll be some major sideshow that will take up all the air in the room about politics. But that said, separate from that, the everyday conversations that we have in our communities about strengthening local economies, building stronger communities that are safer and truly places where every family can thrive together, right? And so that's important. Like L.A. Tom called twice tonight. He called in the beginning. He shared, the testimony of being a kid who, got to participate in a lot of really important things in school, but also had to hide a particular aspect of who he was because to be out in any sense was scary. I mean, it was actually dangerous. And so this is true for too many young people in our schools and communities. And so I think you're right, Tim, it is the issue when we talk about a place where all of our children and community members convene and come together, where democracy is the silver that turns to gold. It's in our public schools. And so even if it's not part of the it's not a major part of the election, I mean, we'll
make it.
We will always be here talking about it, because whether our politicians make it their priority or not, we still have the reality that it plays that role in our communities.
But isn't that, that's our job though too. And that's what I'm saying. That's what we want to do here with the show. If they're not talking about it and trying to avoid it, that's what we're going to do here every night of the week, Monday through Friday, is we are going to talk about it. We're going to elevate it, Johnny. And we're going to make it become part of this election, because we know that all of the listeners out there, we know this is the issue. And so that's what we're challenging you, though. Busted Pencils now, 5 days a week. This is our time. This is our voice. This is our opportunity. Let's bring this every day of the week now, so that when they start to talk about politicians, like, man, we're going to talk about education, because we know, we heard them on Busted Pencils. We heard the listeners. We heard the callers. This is the important stuff. It's Busted Pencils Friday night. Man, can't wait till Monday. Carol Burris, Network for Public Education. See y'all on Monday.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.